This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Web. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast
and
on
Facebook, and check techwebcast.info for info. Techwebcast.
Turn on, tune in, drop on.
Welcome to episode 256 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 14th of September, 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/Tech Webcast. Our hosts for today are Brad, Jody, Steve, Jacob, and Vincent Keith. And, oh, guest Gadget Girl.
Spot on, Steve. How are you, mate?
Doing good. Doing great.
How's your week been?
Oh, it's been good. Not a lot been going on, just certain things.
Good on you, mate. All right. Jacob, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And you got one of your friends there, have you?
Yes.
Who is it?
Well, Rodney.
Who's that?
Blue's Clues.
My little dog.
All right. Anyway, we've got Vincent on. Welcome, Vincent. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
That's the way. And you're from Vinturative.com.
Yep.
Give us a quick brief rundown on what you do.
I make websites for people. I do promotion for small businesses. And based in Adelaide, South Australia.
Nice one. Good one. All right. We've got Jody back on. Welcome, Jody.
Hey. Hi, Brad. How are you?
And I think you're pretty happy about the new iPhone.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the new iPhone.
Can't wait.
Really? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers. She's very excited about it. Also, we've got Keith Tier on. Welcome back, Keith.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And you're from Just Me. How's the app going so far, mate?
That's keeping us busy. We're doing new releases like once a week right now.
Good one. Nice one. Are you looking forward to iOS 7?
Yes, indeed. Did you notice that Apple put Just Me, it was one of 27 apps that they featured on stage during the launch?
I seen that and I noticed that was bloody fantastic, mate.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
Steve, do we have a clap sound effect at all or not?
Oh, actually, we do. Just take a minute.
Well, we can just clap.
Yeah, that's great. Get on your Keith. That's good, mate.
They just asked us for artwork on next Tuesday, so I think they're planning to focus on us in some way.
Nice. All right.
Better late than never.
Okay, that's great.
Well, I tried.
You try. Good on you, Steve. Also, we got Brent on. Hey, Brent. Welcome, mate.
Hey, Brad. Good to be here.
What's your view on the new iPhone?
You know, iPhone launches from Apple are always a good spectator sport to sit back, see how it goes. We'll know really in the first month when the early adopters can tell us how accurate that thumbprint scanner is, but that is intriguing to say the least.
We'll talk about that very soon. Who else? We got Diane Gadget Girl on. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Hey.
What's your view on the new iPhone?
I like plastic. Always have. Always will. Really like plastic. I'm liking the plastic thing.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
All right. Let's jump into the news then, Jody.
Well, I think that number one story in the news has got to be that Apple announced a new iPhone. In fact, they announced two of them just this week. They announced the iPhone 5S, which is their new flagship telephone featuring, can we even call it a telephone anymore? Featuring a 64-bit A7 chip, an all-new 8-megapixel EyeSight camera with True Tone flash, and this Touch ID fingerprint sensor. Kind of exciting stuff. In addition to the A7 chip, they also have an M7 chip, which identifies where the phone is in time and space. It is the first phone, according to Apple, that has a 64-bit architecture and has support for OpenGLES version 3.0. The 5S is going to deliver more special effects, supposedly better photography. And along with that comes iOS 7, which is a significant iOS update. Apparently, it's going to take more use of that 64-bit technology, but it also features hundreds of new features, including a control center, new control center, notification center, improved multitasking, AirDrop, enhanced photos, Safari, a little bit better Siri, and an iTunes radio. Every phone 5S, every iPhone 5S is going to include that new M7 motion coprocessor. And basically what that does is it's going to gather data from the accelerometer, the gyroscope, and a compass. And it's going to offload information from the A7 for improved power and efficiency. I think that that's one of those sleeping things that was mentioned and alluded to, but I think that a lot of the apps that are going to take that into focus have not probably been introduced yet. So I think we're going to see a lot more about that M7 coprocessor in the near future. The 5S also introduced Touch ID, which is the fingerprint sensor. It's built into the home button. It uses a laser cut sapphire crystal together with capacitive touch sensor, and it takes a high resolution image of your fingerprint that intelligently analyzes it to provide accurate readings from any angle. Apparently, it can recognize more than just one finger. You can also have a friend stored in there if in case you need to do that. A lot of reasons why that's going to be an interesting release, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. And they also introduced, in addition to the 5S, the 5C, which is similar to the current iPhone 5, except it comes with some really cool color backgrounds. This case is plastic, but it's not really plastic. I think it's a resin of some sort. It's going to be available in, see if I have the colors here. I think it's blue, kind of like a red, reddish pink, a yellow, green, and white. The iPhone 5S is going to come in champagne gold, silver, or space gray, whatever the heck that is. Pricing's not going to be that much different than the iPhones were. The iPhone 5S, which is going to be a little bit more expensive than the iPhone 5C, C which could stand for color or something else, we're not sure. Well, that's pretty much most of the information, other than the fact that it does have a flash that has a warm and a cool factor to it, and also the photos are supposed to be taken in bursts, and it will supposedly self-identify the best picture of that small burst of pictures. So that's kind of like the news about the what the features are. When Apple did come out with this announcement, it was interesting because their stock dropped roughly about 5%, and the Android lovers were saying that it's because people were disappointed in the phone, but I think it may have more to do with the fact that there were other releases that people were anticipating during the Apple keynote, including people were looking for an update to the Apple TV. They were looking for perhaps some different iPad, neither of which were introduced during that launch. They did talk about iOS 7. iOS 7 is destined to be released on the 18th, I believe. 5C phones can be pre-ordered now as of today. Both the 5C and the 5S will be available in the Apple stores on the 20th. And so that's kind of the story. I'm curious what you guys think, if you think it's that 64-bit processor is a game changer, if you think it's just ho-hum. What do you think, guys?
Let's go to Vincent first. Vincent first. Vincent, what do you think?
We'll have to wait and see. I think, as you say, with the applications that are going to be developed to take advantage of such a high processor, I really can't say.
All right, what about you, Keith? What's your view on that?
You know, the thing that grabbed me is they talked about that processor being desktop class. And if you think about that, along with the rumors that they're going to add some additions to AirPlay that make it do a lot of what Chromecast does, And you also add in support for Bluetooth 4 and iBeacon, which is low-power Bluetooth. It feels to me like Apple is getting ready to have a device in your pocket which can be at the center of almost everything you do, connected to big screens, small screens, keyboards, microphones, cameras, you name it. They're kind of going in the opposite of the direction Google is going in, where Google's putting everything into a pair of glasses. The screen's in there, the camera's in there, the microphone's in there, the speakers are in there. Apple seems to be building a connected devices strategy with the iPhone in the middle, with a lot of power in that phone, and compared to Google, which is creating a single integrated device that you wear on your face.
All right. What about you, Jacob?
I think the phones are nice, and I just found something on the news that you might like.
What's that?
Chromecasts are back in stock.
That's great, mate. That's totally off topic, mate. We're talking about the iPhone, not Chromecast.
I know. I would like to finish.
Okay, go ahead.
The iPhones, I would say they're pretty good.
Yep.
But people like me, they should have the phones pre-readied for prepaid phones.
All right.
Wow. The sound's getting loud over here.
Okay, Brent, what about you? What's your view on the news story?
Well, I think it's a compelling package. They focused on three major areas. That'd be the overhauled camera system, the vastly improved processor, and the Touch ID sensor. It is a not a full release, where the iPhone 6 will be the new redesign. So you expect more of a feature bump and things of that nature, and that's kind of what we got. But it's a compelling enough package, I think, from a business standpoint, that they're going to have a successful first weekend. They'll probably sell out. And I think the stock drop is usually common with every Apple product announcement. If you're any history of the stock, you'll know that it drops after every announcement just because expectations are so unbelievably high and have been now for years, even before Steve Jobs passing, that the market always reacts negatively. But then within a couple of weeks, they come around and realize, well, no, this is a good package. It just didn't match the exact output of the rumors, so be it. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens when people first get this thing. The Touch ID sensor is going to be interesting, that it doesn't work so well when your finger is wet. I don't know how well that's going to be or big of an issue, but you know, it's a compelling package. I'd like to see what happens in the first weekend.
Wait, why is your finger wet? Are you using the phone in the bathroom or something?
I don't know. I guess that they said that's the one big thing that's different. They did say that the old-fashioned sensors for fingerprints on mobile devices and tablets, let's face it, they've been around. They haven't been successful because they're a swipe miss system versus just pressing and holding it. An Apple system is apparently a lot better, but it doesn't work when your finger's wet. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why you'd be using it with your finger wet.
I've never taken my phone to the bathroom. That's just disgusting. Steve, what about you? What do you reckon?
I don't know. To me, it's just kind of a minor update. But of course, with iOS 7, it gives you a lot more. Of course, yeah. The biggest feature, of course, is going to be the Touch ID with the fingerprints scanner. I think that's going to be quite comprehensive because it can be used for purchasing in e-commerce, and I think that's how Apple's going to really get in advice, maybe NFC or some other stuff. Now, yeah. I'm a little bit mixed on this 64-bit processor because one of the biggest things with that is, you know, you can use more than 4 gigs of memory, but most smartphones don't really utilize, I think the max right now is about 3 gigabytes, and of course it could be trying to future-proof it in the future or something. Of course, there are some drawbacks. It may actually impact performance slightly in some areas. But overall, I think it's included with iOS 7. It's going to be really great once it gets released.
Definitely. I can't wait for iOS 7. Gadget Girl, what's your view on that news story?
Yeah, okay. So I met an engineer from Intel on a plane recently. And his whole job that he was working on was about batteries. And so my question is about the battery and how the battery is going to be working with this kind of processor and whether it's going to be really hot. And personally, I want to wait for 6 because I want to wait for all the stuff to just get worked out before I even jump in on any of these other models. But I have some concerns about the battery and the heat of the device. So that's kind of my my feeling right now.
All right,
Jody. The battery's supposed to be 10% larger, too, or 10% more capacity, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the latter, Steve. They're saying that it has a longer battery life.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, Jody, next story.
What about the heat, though? What about the heat factor? Does anybody know about that, whether it runs really hot?
I don't think anyone knows yet.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's really had hands-on with it yet.
I can tell you that built into iOS, there is heat detection, and this has been since iPhone 4, that if the iPhone, for whatever reason, whether it's external or internal CPU issues, if for any reason it reaches a certain unsafe temperature where it may start to cause damage to the battery itself, the model will shut off automatically. So there is built-in protection so it doesn't reach a danger zone.
Good to know. All right.
Yeah, and here's... You know, and it's interesting too because I think that with this new release, the 5 and the 5C apparently are basically the same phone. The only difference being that the 5C has the plastic back to it as opposed to the metal back or whatever the existing back is on the 5. And I thought, you think why would they introduce something like that? Why would they not go for the flagship. Like, why don't they go for the innovation? I was walking out of work today with this other woman, and she was telling me that she can't wait to get her 5C because she likes the colors, and to her it was a fashion statement that she could change that little plastic thing with the little polka dots that they showed. Mm-hmm. It amazed me. But I mean, to her, that she's upgrading from an iPhone 4 to a 5C. And she thought that was like the greatest thing since sliced bread. She doesn't care about 64-bit processor or, the 2 flashes or the better resolution camera or, to her that didn't really mean anything. It was a new phone that was better than what she had and that was sufficient.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing. I was really curious about that color because, Apple don't do things lightly. They do a lot of investigation to everything, and of course, they've considered the psychology of color and how that impacts on people. And I was really curious why such what I think are quite ghastly colors. They're not very deep. They're sort of light pastel-y. I don't know. I can only assume that they're aimed at children, but it's interesting that your friend said that.
Yeah, I mean, and she's not sophisticated. Yeah, she's not a tech kind of person. She does carry an iPhone, but I mean, other than using it for like pictures of her kids and sending emails and getting on Facebook, and she has a few apps. She doesn't really care about being cutting edge. This is newer and better than what she has. But the other thing that I'm curious if anybody has any thoughts about. I thought it was strange that they were pre-releasing the 5C. You can pre-order it right now. But you can't pre-order the 5S. In fact, if you want to pre-order the 5S, you can pre-order it the same day that they're available in stores, which is on the 20th. And to me, that seemed like a very unusual move. And I'm just curious if anybody has any conjecture as to why they think Apple might have done it that way.
Lines at stores.
What, to make it... look like people want it, you mean, or?
Yeah, they like having long lines at the stores. So if you can guarantee all the geeks are going to line up on the 20th now.
I think this is indicative of supply constraint, that usually a pre-order indicates they're ready to roll, no problem, with enough to handle the demand. And the 5C, there's apparently plenty in all the different colors, but with the 5S, it probably might not have enough ready to go. Maybe something slowed down production and they are ramping up as we speak. So why offer pre-order if you really can't supply whatever the demand is? Just get them out the door and sell out whenever you do.
And wasn't there just, I read this recently, I don't know if it was last week, about a big investigation that Apple was doing in their plants. And could that have something to do too with this whole release?
An investigation of what?
Working conditions?
Plants. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They are rumored now to automatically shut down production when they have to do an investigation. If there's a suspect issue, they will shut down a line until they figure out what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Maybe it was on that particular line. Maybe that, you know, stopped them from releasing that one as opposed to the other one. I don't know.
Maybe, but I think it's like it was been mentioned, the supply restraints, and of course with this new fingerprint sensor, totally new technology, maybe, you know, trying to get up this situated, they don't have enough to do pre-release, and then people are going to be complaining because they pre-ordered it and yet they don't get one because there's not right. enough or something like that.
All right, let's move on, Jody.
Okay, in other news, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Microsoft's Cortana shapes up to take on Siri and Google Now. Evidently, back in June, there were screenshots of an early Windows iPhone operating system which were leaked via a Lumia phone allegedly purchased on eBay. And at that time, next to no attention was paid to an app that was listed as Z Cortana that was on the phone. But that Cortana app with the Z indicating that it was a test build that was central to what Microsoft is doing to compete with Apple Siri and Google Now. Cortana's back in the news this week with passing mentions by those tracking what's happening with the Windows phone as it moves towards blue release in the early part of 2014. Cortana takes its code name from Cortana, who was an artificially intelligent character in Microsoft's Halo series, and ostensibly the character can learn and adapt. Cortana is Microsoft's assistant technology, kind of like similar, and supposedly it will be able to learn and adapt relying on machine learning technology, and Satori Knowledge Repository, which powers Bing. They say that it's going to be more than just an app that lets users interact with their phones more naturally. It's core to the makeover of the entire shell, the core services and experience. And in Microsoft's Steve Ballmer strategy memo from July about Microsoft's reorganization, there were hints about this Cortana software. Ballmer mentioned that Microsoft will be working going forward on a family of devices powered by a service-enabled shell. So just curious if you guys have any thoughts about Cortana, if you heard anything about it, if you think it's a game changer, or just kind of like yawn.
Yawn. Okay, personally, that sucks. Siri wins overhand, definitely. Jacob, what's your view on that?
I thought it would be a good thing, but from what I'm hearing from everybody else, I think Siri is a lot better.
Oh, yeah, Siri's going to be improved in iOS 7, I reckon. Keith, what do you reckon?
I think Cortana is going to be really lonely because no one has a Windows phone.
I agree. What about you, Vincent?
I feel the opposite. I think that going from Microsoft's history in voice, just going back from my own experience in 2005, I think it was, I had an HTC Magician, you know, Pocket PC. It was like the pre-runner of the iPhone. And it had Microsoft Voice Command on it. And I was able to, say, call such and such, read my appointments for today, open any app. And, you know, it was way more versatile than Siri is today, all these years later. For me, Siri fails 98% of the time and refers to the internet saying she can do a search for me when, you know, I can just do that with Google Voice, search. So, I wouldn't underestimate Cortana at all.
All right, good answer, Vincent. Brent, what about you, mate?
I think it's. I think we all know the future is kind of in wearable for hardware, and voice is a leading front runner for the method of communicating with services. And it's time to get a refined product that's out there. And obviously, now is a good time to start branding the name that you're going to use. So this is kind of an interesting name, Cortana. But I do have concerns that there's not going to be a lot of people out there using it, and that's how you make it better because the Windows Phone platform is just not taking off like it needs to. But, yeah, I'm all for it. Competition is always a healthy thing. For me, Siri works fantastic, not only with voice commands, but for full-on dictation. When I can have her dictate an email and get it right perfectly, I'm pretty impressed with it. So I do use it now, and that's the future.
All right, good one. What about you, Gadget Girl?
Yeah, I don't know. First of all, I was wondering, does Cortana actually mean something? Does anybody know? Is that actually a word?
It's from the Halo series game.
Oh. I wonder.
I care about something.
wonder. Oh man, no, I'm down with Siri. Siri's fine with me. Yeah. I use it. It's working.
What do you ask Siri? Gadget, what sort of questions do you ask Siri?
Oh, all kinds of everything from, you know, how's Tom Cruise doing, and you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I don't know. Okay. Just where can I go to get a good bowl of chili? I mean, just all kinds of stuff.
All right, cool. What about you, Steve?
So.
I mean, obviously, you know, it's great that, you know, Microsoft's going to at least attempt it, like you said, the competition thing that somebody mentioned earlier. I don't know. I don't really use even Siri on my iPhone that much. Actually, believe it or not, I'm a little bit more impressed with Google's, you know, search. You know, you can touch something, tell them what you want, and it just seems to work so fast. I don't know if they're going to – well, I guess they utilize maybe the same engine in Google now. Of course, I don't have it because I use an iPhone. But, you know, I think it's great to continue to develop each platform operating system, come out with their own version, and hopefully improve on it.
All right. Next story, Jody.
Okay, so when you think about social media, you probably think about Facebook, you probably think about LinkedIn, but you probably also think about Twitter. And this week, Twitter tweeted that it submitted a confidential filing to securities regulators. Apparently, they're thinking about going public. They said on Thursday that they filed for an initial public offering, setting the stage for the most high-profile technology stock market debut since Facebook. And Facebook, as you know, when they did their launch, there were a little bit of stumbles, a little bit of trouble. It didn't go so smoothly. Hopefully, Twitter's IPO is going to be a little bit smoother than that. But they announced the filing of their own social media messaging service, saying they announced it through Twitter, saying that we've confidentially submitted an S-1 to the SEC for a planned IPO. This tweet does not constitute an offer of any securities for sale. And that's less than 140 characters. Anyway, the company followed that with a second tweet saying back to work and attached a photo of employees at the Twitter headquarters in San Francisco. Apparently, you know, they're taking it public. And
Hi, I'm Aubrey Plaza, and I'm here to tell you about my new movie called The To-Do List that's coming out in theaters this Valentine's Day. It's not
Hello?
Like all those other late Valentine's Day movies that tries to impress you with an all-star cast. It's a real Valentine's Day movie about love.
Now that movie, that movie sounds really terrible.
That's a word from our sponsor.
Yeah, and we'll probably get in trouble for that.
I would like to announce Just On Me will be doing the following next week.
Oh, wow, man.
That's crazy. All right.
All right, so anyway, anybody have any thoughts about that?
Keith, what do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bit worried about Twitter because the other news today was that their target for users this year has only been achieved about 50%. And, you know, you remember what happened with Facebook when they went public at the very time they were still trying to figure things out, and it tanked their stock for about a year. And in their case, they made a recovery primarily due to figuring out mobile monetization, the app installs advertising thing. Twitter, on the other hand, has a terrible advertising plays right now. I used it a little bit, and, you know, it's expensive. It's pretty ineffective at driving what the advertiser wants, which is installs. So I think that they're maybe a little early, and it makes me wonder whether they actually need the money, and that's driving them. Or it doesn't feel the right timing to me. And I've done two public offerings before, one with EasyNet in the UK, and then one with Real Names here in the US. The Real Names one never happened. And thank God, because it would have been too early. We'd have been hammered. The EasyNet one did happen, and it was okay. But it definitely feels like the advice you normally get from your bankers, which is only do it if you know that for the next 4 quarters you're going to make your revenues. I'd be surprised if they know what their revenues are going to be for the next 4 quarters.
All right. Good answer, Keith, Tia. Vincent, what do you think?
Yeah, as a heavy user of Twitter, I'm a little bit worried because, you know, as Keith was saying, these points are quite an epic moment in the in the history of a organization. So, yeah, I don't know. Twitter's sort of been a bit weird, and you know, people have wondered how it's going to make money, and you know, it's got the sponsored things, and I don't know. I just worry about the future of Twitter from a user perspective.
I am sick of spam on Twitter. Well, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think primarily. Well, I don't know if it's their primary way they make money, but supposedly now that if like somebody makes like a third party app and it gets very popular, and each like developer gets a certain amount of, I think they call them tokens.
Yep.
And once they reach that certain amount, I can't remember what, like 100,000, then they have to contact Twitter to make arrangements for, you know, they got to pay so much amount to get some more tokens or something like that. This is actually, I reported that on my show. It's been probably a year ago when I mentioned it. So somehow they got to get with the developers, and if their apps, you know, get so much money, then somehow they get money off the developers. I don't know. That's probably just one way they can do it.
Cool. All right. What about you, Brent?
Just a quick point. I think I agree with Keith strongly that the time is now, because it's basically Twitter saying, we now think that if people will look at Twitter today and Twitter a year from now, will we be a larger company? Will we have a larger subscriber base? And will we be considered more valuable in the eyes of the public? Are you willing to bet that we'll be bigger next year than we are now? The answer now is probably yes, one more year for sure, and you don't have to hold stocks forever. And it's interesting timing as well because of Facebook. Their IPO wasn't a success. They lost money initially in the first few months or however long it was, but now they've broken even. Now they're making profit. Everyone's kind of calmed down. Another big tech IPO is timed right for now.
All right. Jacob?
I don't have very much to say about Twitter. I just use it.
Yeah, same. Me too. But
just use it.
I'm just sick of the spam on there. Joe, do you get a lot of spam on Twitter?
Do I?
Yeah.
I just don't pay attention to it. The way I use it, I have TweetDeck and Hootsuite, and I monitor and watch the people that I'm interested in listening to, or the keywords or phrases that I'm interested in following. So,
yep.
You know, I mean, I think I've got, I don't know, like 12,000, 13,000, 20,000. I don't even know how many people that I'm either following or who are following me. And it's just, it would be absolutely impossible to monitor that entire conversation. So you have to filter it intelligently.
Definitely. All right. Jacob, who's the guest we have on today, mate?
Me. Gadget girl.
Gadget girl. Yes, yeah. Indeed. We do. How are you?
I'm okay.
What's been happening?
Well, you know, I sent you guys, I've been doing some really wacky videos. I shot this video called TSNA, and it's about the TSA and the people that frisk you. And do you have a little clip of it?
We do indeed. Jack, Steve, far away, mate.
Yes, we do. But just hang on. I'm going to be playing it in just a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I shot this in the video in Ohio, and then I shot the music in another place. But I like random video that has nothing to do with the subject matter.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and play it right now.
Go ahead.
Okay. Last thing left to say.
Ready.
Thank you for touching me there. Thank you for touching me there. My man went away, and there's no one to play. So just thank you for touching me there. Shakita, your nails are so long. And Tony, boy, you look so strong. I'll go. Touching me there, everybody. Thank you for touching me there. Oh, thank you for touching me there. I've got 5 ounces or less. Just be careful of the dress. Thank you
watching me there.
I just want to mention this is a really good drinking song.
Is it really? Okay, save.
And Tony, I thought I would melt the skin of your wand. I thank God I'm a blonde. So thank you for touching me there.
Well,
did you guys hear that?
Yeah, we did. Save? What do you reckon?
I feel like I need to be touched. Oh, whatever.
Yeah, well, the deal is I have been traveling for probably 17 years, and I used to do a city a day. And I've gone through TSA so many times in all that time that I thought I'd write a song about those people. And it's a really good drinking song, too. Every time I do it, it's there, everybody joins in and everybody can relate. And my next one is going to be called A Town with No Teeth. That is it's a homage to meth and bath salts. So I'm working on that one next.
You're going to
do a whole series. Yeah, I'm doing a whole series of these.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. That's
I'm going to go on tour in concert.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, for somebody, some band out there, like the, I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of Einstürzen in Neubauten? You ever heard of that band?
Yes, I have.
Oh, there good. Are. One person. Wow. Yeah, okay. Oh. Somebody like that.
Pretty obscure, though, isn't it?
Yeah, very obscure.
They use instruments. Chainsaws or bandsaws and steel and industrial sort of.
Correct.
Things as musical instruments. They mark them up.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've been doing that. I've just been doing podcast stuff, and I've been doing all my Gadget Girl stuff, and I don't know, trying to find stuff new.
Gadget Girl, have you come across any cool gadgets lately?
Wow, I knew you were going to ask me that. And I have this thing. It's called a hover cam. Have you guys seen this? Or it's a scanner, basically. But it's got an armed device, and it's got a stand, and so it, thus the name, it hovers above whatever it is you're scanning. And what I like about it is, especially for getting rid of photographs, you just literally just toss them under it, like bang, 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 and you're scanning. You don't have to lift any flatbed. You don't have to run anything across whatever it is you're scanning. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I mean, has anybody seen this thing?
It's called a
hover cam.
No.
It's a scanner.
Yeah. It hovers over your desk. It's like a
exactly.
Down to L.
Yes. So, and you can position it. To get microscopic, get really down in there, or if you just want to get, like I said, photographs. Because I am really trying to live very minimally so that I can move a lot. And I want to get rid of all my photographs, all my books. I just don't want to carry around anything. I want everything to be digital. So I've been using that a lot.
All right. Keith, do you have any questions for Gadget Girl?
You know, I don't know you, Gadget Girl, so I'd just like to know, tell us about what you do.
Oh, okay. All right, so in 1996, I was a stand-up comic, and I saw people on television talking about technology, and they were really boring. So I created the Gadget Girl character in 1996. Web Girl, Geek Girl, Gadget Girl, we all started at the same time. And so, because I love technology and I like talking about it and learning about it, I created the character, and then I started appearing on television shows, and the rest is kind of history. I was an early adopter, and that's me. That's what I've been doing.
Wow.
Ever since. Yeah.
Did you ever do anything in England?
I'm sorry?
Did you do anything in England ever?
No, but I did do, I got to tell you this. I used to be on the, do you know Ainsley Harriet? Ainsley Harriet is a tall, black, British, bald cook, chef guy. And okay. he had a national show in New York, and they used to fly me out all the time. He's a really nice guy, but he doesn't know funny from anything. He can't do funny at all. He doesn't get funny at all. So I'll give you an example. Jerry O'Connell, I think his name is. He's a tall, white actor. He was in Stand By Me. Okay, so Ainsley, we're on live television, and Ainsley says, spread your legs. Well, what is he going to do? Not do it? So Ainsley goes underneath him, and he hoists him up on his shoulders, and he looks at an American audience, and he says, look, everybody, it's a black and tan. Like, nobody got it. Not one person. Not one person. So they come to me, and they go, Gashko, you got to save the show. And I said, put up a disco ball, call it a gay bar. That's the only thing we can do here. There's no saving the show. We absolutely can't save.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but no, to answer your question, no, I didn't do England. I just did all across America. I've done just about every show out there. And a lot of weird... I'm writing a book about all the weird Gadget Girl stuff. Yeah, no, not Comedy Central. I didn't do Comedy Central.
Okay.
But I'm writing a book about all the weird shit that's happened to me over the years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I had a stalker for a while. Wow. That was pretty classy. This guy would show up in a gold LeMay tuxedo and yell my name, and I'd say, buddy, if you're into me, you're really sick. You know, please. But, yeah.
Maybe anyway. Jody should get together.
Did you have a stalker?
That's a bad joke, Steve.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's not bring that up in this podcast, Joe. Steve. Vincent, got any questions?
Not really. Actually, I have. I was looking at your website and the hovercraft, and what was it called?
Hovercam.
Whatever. It sounds excellent. But the website's dead, and I can't see anything about it. And all I can find on your website is a photo of it. But it looks fantastic. An easy way to scan. I have books and books and books that I would love to be able to scan easily. So, yeah.
All right. Jody, any questions?
Well, yeah. First of all, I think what we need to do is share with the audience how to find Gadget Girl, because it's spelled unusually. You want to give everybody the URL?
Sure. It's Gadget, GadgetGirl.com.
And it's a cool website. You got some neat things there. But I guess, you know, if somebody wanted to hire you to do something, what kinds of things would you offer? I mean, you obviously have a lot of different talents, so.
Yeah. Generally, you know, I my whole business model is funny for money. And seriously, that's it. That's really it. And so people who hire me generally want me to talk about things in an entertaining way and yet convey whatever it is that I'm supposed to be talking about. Because for the most part, when you listen to tech people, they don't care what's under the hood. You were talking about the woman she's all crazy about the case, and she could care less about the chip or what's actually in the device, right? Well, that's kind of the deal. It's like that, you know, tell people what they're really interested in, you know? And so to answer your question, I mean, when people contact me, that's basically what I'm doing, is I'm entertaining.
So Google Glasses is going to be like a godsend to you.
Yeah, right. I think that's kind of freakazoid, actually. I really do, personally. I think it's kind of freakazoid because, you know, I mean, people are distracted enough. But if you're talking to someone with Google, have you ever done that? Have you ever talked to somebody while they're wearing those? They're like not there. They're really not there, you know? And you don't know what they're watching. They could be watching porn. I mean, you don't know where they are, right? And so, I don't know. I kind of have a problem with that.
That's an interesting take on it. I haven't heard that before. But you know what? That makes absolute sense. And you think about how society has changed. You know, we don't even pay attention. When we go out to dinner with somebody, everybody's on their phone. They're texting.
Right.
Yeah, it's bad enough.
Exactly. It's bad enough that people are texting while they're talking to you. But if they've got Google Glasses, you have no idea where they are because they're not there.
Well, wow. and their eyes are looking up and to the left or up and to the right.
Right.
So they're not even looking at you.
No.
Wow, that's interesting, really. I mean, it's like a disintegration of socialization.
Yeah.
And they don't know if they're taking a video of your pictures. That's right. All.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Brent, do you have any questions for Gadget Girl?
Just one. Did you ever have a specific experience with TSA that drove you to write the song, or just a lot of different ones?
Yeah, lots. Lots of experience. Yeah, just so many. So many. The Chiquito chick with the long nails is always the case. There's always some chick named Chiquita, and she's got really long nails. So I had to put her in.
Press only nails right now.
All right.
What's the funniest gadget you've ever seen so far? I mean, since you're a comedian.
Oh, man, there's so many. Yeah. Okay, so here's one. It's kind of a gadget, it's called Zip It Socks. This guy sends me this stuff, and he said, here, this is the latest thing. It's called Zip It Socks. This is for people that don't want to carry their keys or their money or anything. And they don't have, evidently, they have no pockets, all right? So he created Zip It Socks. And so these are crew socks that are very expensive. They're like $30. And they have zippers that go vertically. Okay? And that's where you... And I'm like, wow, fat ankles. That's what I want. I really want that, right? And then I said, did you do some market research? Yeah, cankles, big time. And I said, gee, did you do some research on the whole, you know, vertical versus horizontal? And I swear to you, he said... It's really hard to get people to go horizontal. I just said, oh, of course it is. Of course it is, Mr. Zip It Socks. You put in a lot of money into this product that nobody's going to buy. They're insane. They don't make any sense. But I have lots of those.
All right. What else have you been up to, Gadget? Any other exciting stuff?
Well, I'm living in Sedona. That's a whole different thing. I was living on the beach in California, and now I'm in Sedona, so that's a whole different thing. There's a lot of wild stuff out here. Discovery was just here. They did a whole special on the UFO people. And I have a friend who has a UFO company. So I'm meeting a lot of wild people out here.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of devices out here.
That's very cool. Very cool. Now, what's your view on the new two iPhones? Do you like them or...
Yeah, like I said, I seriously am going to wait. I'm not jumping in and getting either one of them because Apple, as you know, is not free with their stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but it's very difficult to get anything from Apple. So personally, I'm going to wait for the 6. Of the two, it's weird because I think the colored plastic ones are really funky, and I don't remember who talked about them being for kids. I think they are geared more for kids. And then the other ones are more for, you know, the business professional who wants to have slate gray or gold in their briefcase. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
All right.
I don't have much of an opinion because I'm not going there. I'm waiting.
All right. Vincent, what's your view on the iPhone and this sort of stuff and the NSA and stuff and the fingerprint? You're a little bit worried about it, mate.
Yeah, I wonder about the consumer confidence being shaken now from what's happened with the Snowden leaks and the NSA scandal and now that we know that the encryption has been totally violated and broken. And it was sort of bad timing, I think, for Apple to say that, yeah, the fingerprints are encrypted. On a chip in the phone when it's very clear that they're targeting iPhones and have complete access to the contents of your iPhone. So fingerprint scanners, have had a bad run in the past. I know from all accounts what I've read and seen, it seems that Apple has really mastered it and probably have produced the best fingerprint scanner to date, but still, you know, people's perceptions of fingerprint scanners is pretty low. They've been pretty much a flop on all laptops and devices up until now. So, you know, the security aspects of the NSA leaks combined with the history of fingerprints scanners, I don't, you know, I think this this may hurt the sales of the new phone.
All right. Keith, what do you think possibly. About... Go ahead, Steve, what are you going to say?
I think... No, you know, I'm just saying possibly.
Okay, go ahead, Keith. Sorry, mate.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, I think after that fear came out, they made clear that the fingerprint stuff never leaves the phone. It doesn't get stored in the cloud. It doesn't get travel on the wire. So the encryption is not susceptible to intervention. It's only when things are passed across the wire that they can get it.
Well, that's not true. According to the NSA leaks, the article in Spiegel recently, a couple of days ago, was pointing out that they have access to about 32 individual services on the phone, direct access. So, you know.
I didn't read that, but they still have to get into the phone. You know, I mean,
yep.
Having access to a service. Not the same as having access to data stored on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the ways they were able to get a lot of the data from the iPhones was actually by hacking into the computers that the phone synced with. So if it is the case that the fingerprint is kept on the phone and not synced, then that does give consumers a little bit more confidence. But the news in the Spiegel article was referring to having direct access, not just to the phone, not just to the computer that your phone synced with.
Right. I was at TechCrunch Disrupt this week, and I don't know if any of you watched it online, but Michael Arrington asked every single person he interviewed about the NSA business because he's a strong opponent of government oversight justified by, you know, protecting us all from bad guys. he was hoping that the various celebrities he interviewed would agree with him. And the interesting thing was that absolutely not one of them did. They all cited the fear of terrorism as justification for the NSA being able to spy on the citizens. And to me, that goes to the heart of, you know, what democracy is meant to be. The minute you let fear of bad guys take rights away, then there are no rights because there's a lot of bad guys and almost everything becomes vulnerable if you think the bad guys are in control.
Yep, exactly.
Can I jump in just really quick here and tell you guys something? You know, before the first Iraqi war, I was on an ABC show. It wasn't even Fox. And these guys were, this was a local show, and they were building war sets. And I said, what are you guys doing? I mean, we haven't even gone to war. And they said, we have to sell it. I mean, they don't pay anything for anything. And they were building war sets before we even went to war. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's amazing what is happening with media and how that's all just really bought. It's crazy. It's really
all right.
Crazy.
Okay, Brent, what's your view on the what Vincent was saying and stuff?
Well, I think, you know, the NSA threat primarily is web-based. And to Keith's point, the way Apple has made it pretty clear is that they're keeping the... First of all, there's no fingerprint. There's no picture of a fingerprint. It's simply a scan and comparing to single attributes of your fingerprint that get stored during setup. So even if someone does hack, for some reason, into the enclave of the A7 chip where this is secured... and not shared outside of the OS, then they still don't even have a picture of your fingerprint. They only have some small information about how your fingerprint is custom to you. Still a lot of information, but it's not a full scan. But yeah, the most important thing about the NSA is that if it's on the web in any way, shape, or form, or communicated by a website or IP traffic in any way, then it's susceptible. But in theory, this is never leaving the device. NSA would have to have a hardwire to get it, and even then it's still hard.
And just to clarify... I've gone over the article and I can't actually see anything that it does say that it actually does have direct access, but they are very hard at work to get it So yeah, it seems it's interesting that you say there the phone that the there's no image of the print itself, which is also comforting. But you know, I wondered about the security aspect of it because you know, I'm just imagining, you know, more sort of more harmless violations of it, such as the dad falls asleep on the couch and the kid, you know, just walks over and puts his thumb on his phone to unlock it so he can buy the you know, the most expensive app he can get.
Well, and I would argue the other point is that this is being introduced now because 50% of smartphone users do not use any lock protection whatsoever. So the kid's more likely to just slide to unlock any device currently on the market that, other than having to get his dad's thumb and hold it on the device. I think it's actually more secure to use this. So there's actually a catch-22 here about not using it for fear of security, even though its whole purpose is security.
I don't know. I think most of the people that are, sorry, Steve, I was just going to say most of the people I know that have kids do very, very consciously put a lock on. And I think all those people without one are people like myself who don't have kids and have no need to put a lock on it. And you know, for those people like myself who don't want a lock on it, can we turn off the thumb scanner? I didn't see anything about it being optional.
I'll tell you what, I think the thumb scanner is brilliant, and I think that absolutely, there are so many people like myself. I agree with you, Vincent. I should use double authentication, and I don't. But the problem is, something absolutely innocent. You are on the train, and you didn't realize it was your stop, and you jump off the train, and you left your phone. You think about all of the information. My phone is my life. You know, it's got my, like, all my bank accounts in there. It's got my contacts. God forbid I lose my phone and somebody gets access to it just by swiping it.
But what if you fell asleep on the on the train and then someone's got access to it because they've got access to your thumb? If they had the they can't do that with a 4-digit code if you're asleep.
I know, but it also takes time. And most people don't take the time to put that 4-digit code in. So I think, you know what, if they offer two flavors for two different types of people, that's fine. For me, I think that the fingerprint identification thing is brilliant, and I welcome it wholeheartedly.
All right, Jack.
Can I add just one other aspect about the thumbprint? I'm not sure how the perception is in America, but in Australia and many other parts of the world, scanning your fingerprint is directly associated with criminality, and a lot of people are fearful of it because it's a collection of a thumbprint, and it's almost like you have to prove that you're the owner of your own device. That criminal element, I think, is another aspect that may deter people from buying it.
I think Hang on, Steve. Just Jacob, jump in for a sec. Go ahead, Jacob.
Sure, go ahead.
What do you want to say, Jacob? Go ahead, mate.
It was me, actually.
Oh, go ahead, Keith. Sorry, mate. Yep.
I was just going to say, you know, I've got three young boys at 12, 10, and 6, and it's so inconvenient to have that 4-digit code all the time. I honestly don't have one, and I don't worry about the boys, frankly. And this thumb thing, I probably will have it now, even if I don't know if I'm allowed not to have it, but let's say I can make a choice. I probably would have it because the only thing that stops me with the phone numbers is the inconvenience of typing it in 100 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I reckon that's a good point there, Keith. Jacob, are you there, mate?
Yeah, I've been here. I've been waiting for a chance to talk.
Well, go on then. Talk then, mate. Come on. You can just jump in and talk. Go on then. Hurry up.
Yeah, I really don't have anything to say, but I agree with everyone what they were saying.
So, would you use the thumbprint on the phone?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, if you can turn it off, I probably won't use it, but yeah. What about you, Brian?
I'm wondering about stealing, you know, people that rob you at gunpoint and force you to use the thumbprint and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. That'd be pretty weird.
But that's kind of the same as forcing you to type in your 4-digit code, so it's kind of neutral in that way.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Brent, do you have an opinion on that, mate?
Not really.
All right. Jody, what about you?
On which, I'm sorry, we jumped around on different
things.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure where we're up to now.
I think, yes.
Okay. So, Keith, what's been happening with Just Me Up, mate?
Wow. A lot. I guess the biggest thing with Just Me is that we've completely changed the user interface. We started off, if you all remember, focused on the media types. You could do a video message or a voice message or an image-based message or a text message. And, you know, we realized that that really wasn't speaking to the human side of a person. What is it they want to do? So we started thinking about two things, really. One is the world that's dominated by Instagram, Vine, and Snapchat. On the one hand, and on the other hand, the world that's dominated by WhatsApp and Line and KakaoTalk. And we asked the question what those two big, literally hundreds of millions of users who've chosen one or other of those two paths for messaging really represents. So we decided to make a bet, and we made the bet that the Instagram side of the world represents a kind of a future that especially young people identify with as their preferred form of communicating with their friends, and that the WhatsApp group represents the kind of old-fashioned instant messaging view of the world. So we're changing Just Me into something that's much more like a completion of the Instagram communications promise. That you can share with friends using pictures or videos or short videos or text or whatever you want in a highly visual, kind of fun kind of a way. And the second bet is that people want to be public, that people love meeting strangers from all over the world in public, but they don't want to remain in public. They want to be able to go and be almost like have pen pal relationships with those people once they get to know them. So we're building chat in. And the next version of the app, which is probably about 2 weeks away, will have chat as well as it's kind of built on top of the messaging system. So you can go and have private chats. You know, big picture, we're doing what they talk about in that book, Lean Startup. We're trying to learn from the users, understand what users want, and change the app to be as close as we can get to what they're asking for as fast as we possibly can, and dumping things that they're not using.
All right. Sounds good, Keith. So the next update is in about 2 weeks, mate.
Next update's in 2 weeks. The other thing which you'll be pleased to hear now that you've gone back to iPhone is we're going back to leading with the iPhone. We have a lot more iPhone users.
Yeah, definitely.
We have about 200,000 iPhone users.
Yeah.
And we have about 25,000 Android users. So we're going back to leading with the iPhone when it comes to changing things. And when things work, we'll then put them onto Android.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with 100%. Vincent, what do you think about the Just Me? Have you seen it, mate?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, you have to check it out, mate. Get it onto your iPod Touch. Does it work on the also on the iPad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Keith, yeah.
Who'd want a mobile device that wasn't just them?
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts, Jacob Jones. We've got to wrap up.
Yeah, I think Just Me is a good app.
Yeah, and?
We did a good show today.
We did indeed, and you must have fell asleep. Where can they get you on Twitter?
Jazzbot326691Z.
All right, Jody, final thoughts and your Twitter username and stuff.
Sure. Final thoughts. I have to say about Just Me that the last time you were on, we were discussing people taking selfies. I think that we were, that was about when Geraldo. And you know, it's funny because every time I was watching the news and seeing the election results for Anthony Weiner, I just kept coming back to it. I bet he uses Just Me. But, and the selfies and all that, but fortunately he lost.
But you know who started using Just Me is Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, I seen her on there.
Oh,
yeah,
my Lord.
Is she real? Is she real on there? Is that really?
She's real, yeah.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Did she twerk while she was using it?
That's way cool, man. Good on you. Good to get her on
there. She did. She came around my house and showed my wife how to do it, though.
Oh dear.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay, Brent, final thoughts and your what's your Twitter username and stuff.
I don't have anything that I share on the internet, but good show. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem, mate. Come back on any time. Vincent Brown, final thoughts and your social links and stuff.
overall, I think the new iPhone is quite amazing. It looks, the 5S looks very sexy and appealing. I think, aside from everything I said negatively about the perceptions of the fingerprint scanner, I think it's probably going to be a success. You can have a look at my G Plus page for a humorous picture of Steve Jobs. You can get there by going to vintuitive.com/G+, and find me on the internet as Vintuitive.
Yep,
and that's spelt intuitive, but with a capital V.
All right, I'll put a link to the to your website in there in the show notes, so people can check it out. Cheers,
thanks.
Also, what else is there? You can get me on Twitter at Brad, I was on Tech Webcast. Keith T, final thoughts, and your Twitter and stuff, mate.
It's been an interesting week. Twitter handle KTEAR, KTEARE.
Yep, good stuff, mate. And when are you getting your phone, mate?
I ordered a 5C today, but I'm going to get a 5S as soon as I can.
Yeah, same. I can't wait. I'm getting one too. What's Robert Scoble think about all these new phones and stuff?
You know, we did the Gilmore Gang today. You'll get to see it tomorrow morning, your time, I guess.
Yep, I'll be watching.
But he talked a lot about how he wishes Google was as good at shipping products and promoting them as Apple is. So he didn't think much about the actual phones, but he thought the marketing was awesome.
Mm. Okay. Good stuff. Jody, did I ask you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as Sunswept. You can find me in most of the usual places as Jody Rains or webmarcom.net or A2SM. And interesting enough, I don't know if this is super top secret or not, but I understand that Scoble's coming to New York next week. Oh, and nice. Also Chris Voss, Sam Levin, I think Tom Hawk, I'm not sure who else. So I'm excited because I'm going to be hopefully getting up there to intercept them.
Nice. Can't wait.
You know, they're doing a brown bag lunch at BetaWorks, John Baldwick's BetaWorks in New York. I got an invite today, but I don't live in New York, so I can't go.
Aw. I'll take a picture, and I'll put it on Just Me.
Yeah, are you on Just Me, are you, Jody?
What's that?
Are you on Just Me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, take a photo, and then we can follow each other on there. Steve, final thoughts and that sort of stuff.
You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Okay, final thoughts, mate? Anything you want to say before you go?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. Okay, Jay, that's a wrap. Thanks for being on, guys.
Gadget Girl.
Oh,
TM.
Sorry.
Twitter. Gadget Girl TM. Twitter. That's where you can find me.
Say it again. Go ahead, Gadget. That's all you. Go ahead.
Gadget Girl TM. That's what I am on Twitter.
Okay, come back on the show anytime you want. You're more than welcome. We love your work.
Thanks.
You're excellent.
You're a legend.
Yeah, she's a legend.
Thank you.
And Jacob, you lost the game.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!